Well, like you, I'm going to start off with my testimony to get to know me a little bit. And as was said, I'm Caleb Downs, and I'm a fourth-year college student in uni. I'm studying biblical counseling. I grew up in a Christian home and was saved at a pretty young age. And I came to know the Lord, and my family, my dad, my mom, they both wanted me to come to know the Lord, and it was really important to them. And when I was young, I found myself that I might feel the Lord call me into full-time Christian service, and I wasn't too sure if that's what I wanted to do. I got into high school, and it was then that the Lord really was not my priority at all. I got into some things that was not honoring and glorifying to Him, and I didn't want to have anything to do with God at all. My relationship with my parents was really terrible, and I had a girlfriend, she wasn't saved, and I had no desire to serve God, and I wanted nothing to do with Him. And it was then that I thought that I was happy living in sin, that God really started to do a work in my life. I found myself at Bob Jones University. I don't know how that happened. I was all lined up to go at a state school. I had all my paperwork signed, and I was going to be able to be in the dorms at Indiana State University at the secular school close to where I live. And the next that semester, I somehow found myself in the dorms at Bob Jones. And to be honest, I hated it there. The rules, the stipulations, the constant time of being focused on God was just something that I didn't want at the time. And my first entire semester was just a struggle. And it came to the end of that semester, which was a really rough semester for me, in December of 2008, that when I found God really changed my life. I got a phone call from a friend of mine that one of my other friends had committed suicide. He was supposed to go to a high-security penitentiary. He had stolen a car, and it wasn't his first time that he had got caught for stealing. And he was going to be sent to a high-security pen in Michigan. And he was in his cell with his cellmate and didn't know the guy at all. But he told the cellmate, he's like, I'm not going there. He said, I'd rather kill myself than I would go there. And his cellmate was like, oh, you're all right. You're all right. You're going to be fine. You're just going to go. You're going to serve your time. And then you're going to go ahead and get out, and it'll be just fine. And Charles wasn't all right. His cellmate left the cell, and the next thing that he knew when he came back, he had hung himself with a pair of jeans that he had. And that changed my life, to be honest. It wasn't necessarily that he committed suicide was what changed my life, but it was the fact that I never shared with him the gospel. There was a time in particular when it was me, him, and another friend of mine, and we were all together, and I remember him asking a question about God and wondering how we can know for sure who God is. And, you know, I had the answers. And I had the answer to be able to share with him the gift of eternal life. How he could know Jesus Christ in a relationship that he would be able to meet him in heaven. And he could have that hope. He could have that joy. He could have the peace of knowing Jesus Christ as his Savior. But I kept that to myself. And as of right now, Charles is burning in hell as far as I know, and I'm going to have to answer for that. And that night, it really changed my life. I was reading that night in the scriptures. I was going through the Psalms, and I went to Timothy, and I came, 2 Timothy came off across 4:7. It's talking about Paul when he says, I fought the good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. And from then on, I use that as my life verse. I said, Lord, I want to be able to be used by you. I want to fight the good fight. I'm tired of living for myself. As we saw this morning, I'm tired of having myself be the king of my own life. And I said, I want to live for you. But since then, it's not been a walk in the park. It's not been picking daisies, shall we say. It's been a struggle. You know, There's been trials in my life, and that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight, is about trials and why we go through them. And there's been times that I thought that myself needed to be king again. And I tried putting myself in that place, and I didn't let God have His rightful place. But that's just a little bit about me, and when we're talking about the trials tonight, I'm going to have you turn in your scriptures to James 1. James 1. And I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm going to hopefully have some response from you, so that way we could be able to interact with each other. The first question I'm going to ask is, what is a trial? Someone just raise your hand, tell me what a trial is. We all know what it is. Yeah, Chris?
A hard time.
All right. A little bit more than that. What's a trial? Something else. Example. Anybody? Is that a hand? All right. Yes, in the back there. Thank you. That's right. And why do we have them? Why do we have trials? That's right. That we can strengthen our faith. That God's grace might be shown in us. It's been said that we're either going into a trial, we are in a trial right now, or we are coming out of a trial. So if you are in a trial right now, you know, I'm praying for you. If you're coming out of a trial, I'm praying for you. But if you're not, then hold on, you're getting ready to go in one. And God uses the trials that we have to be able to strengthen our faith, to be able to lean on Him. And when we're going through the trials, to be honest, I'm going to be transparent with you. When I go through trials and I have things that's going on with me, and maybe my walk's not really as close with God as it should be, I get mad at Him. I say, God, I know what's best for me. You're not putting this in my life right now. I should be not having this. Why are you doing this to me? And it's not that God is doing anything to us, but that He just wants us to lean on Him. He wants us to trust Him. And we might feel that it's not fair that we be treated this way. But God wants to be our best friend. He wants to have us grow with Him. That's why He has the trials. In James 1, in verse 2, it says what we're supposed to do when we have trials. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Which, the word temptations, if you look at verse 13 real quick, it's not temptation is like sin temptation, because verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God will never tempt us with sin. But yet that word trials is also translated, or temptation is translated trials. It's not sin, or it's to be tempted with sin. We're supposed to count it joy. We're supposed to say, thank you, God, for putting this into my life. Thank you, God, for taking away my job. Thank you, God, for letting me lose a child. Thank you, God, for taking away my girlfriend, my boyfriend. And that's what I was struggling with. I was, before I came here to Australia, this was 2 weeks ago, I was happily dating, so I thought. And 2 weeks ago, she called me, well, I called her up and was letting her know how things was going. And it ended up that we're no longer together. And that hurt. That hurt a lot. I'm here serving God, doing what He wants me to do. And I'm in Australia trying to further the gospel. And He takes away something that is so precious to me. But the thing was, she was too precious to me. She was more precious to me than my relationship with God. And that was not what it was supposed to be. We have trials so we can grow closer to Him. He was saying, Caleb, let go and come to me. I want you to have a relationship with me. Forget the relationships about here on earth. I want you to be my first love. I want you to love me more than anything else. And that's what he was saying. That first night that she called me, oh, it was so rough. I had 2 hours of sleep. I was just praying. Tears were just streaming down my face. I was telling God how, God, you don't understand. Like, I know she's the one. I just know it. Obviously not. I mean, really. But he let me know and he assured me throughout this last week, I want to love you. And more than I want to love you, I want you to love me. And when I was fighting with him that whole week, I realized how selfish I was being. We grow, or else we rebel when we're in our trials. We have a choice. We can choose whether to obey God, or we can choose to go farther away from Him. And that, verse 2, count it all joy. That's a rough verse to swallow. Really, it is. And I was going through a bunch of other stuff this last semester too. When I was at uni, my family, so much struggles with things that I didn't have any control over. My dad, who had been in construction for 37 years, he was out shoveling the snow, and next thing you know, he's down on his back. And he had to have back surgery in December. And he was without a job, and my mom had to take care of him and take off work from her job, be able to take care of him. And while she was taking care of him, my grandma, she ends up falling on the ice and breaks her hip. And this is all in the month of January. She breaks her hip in January. And my mom is still taking care of my dad, taking care of my grandma. And then I get a phone call that thinks my mom might have breast cancer. And it ended up that she didn't, praise the Lord. And that was still at the same time. And then now, my mom lost her job. So my dad and my mom both don't have a job. And this is just a trial that they're going through right now and that I can't do anything about. But it's up to us when we are going through our trials, when we don't have a job, when we are just seeing that we're all alone, that we choose to serve God through them, that we rejoice. We say, thank you, God. I'm going to learn through this if you just give me the strength and the glory to. God never gives us any more than we can handle. If we turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13, you go ahead and turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. We might feel that, God, I can't handle this. And to be honest, what by ourselves, we can't. I don't know how the world does it. I really don't. The people that have all these things happen to them and they don't have Jesus, it just blows my mind. What do they have to turn to? A bottle that they can drink their problems away? Or friends that they go out and do drugs with? The hope and the peace is in Jesus Christ. And if you're going through those things and you feel like you're all alone and you turn to those things, that's not going to bring you anything but heartache. It's Jesus Christ that gives the peace and the joy that passeth all understanding. And He wants to give you peace. And He's waiting for you. He was waiting for me. When I was so angry with Him, when I just said, God, you don't know what you're doing. He had his hands open and he was like, Caleb, I'm ready for you to come to me. Just give up. Just realize that I am more important than anything else that you have ever had. Come to me and I will give you rest. We serve an awesome God, don't we? Let's try that again. We serve an awesome God, don't we? I'm glad I'm not God. And you are too, that I'm not God. Because if I was God and someone just keeps spitting in my face time after time after time, that'd be like a little lightning bolt coming down. Done. I would have been done a long time ago. I would get annoyed with myself. But we serve a God that loves us more than we even know what love is. To think that I can say to somebody that I love you, when Jesus Christ in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that He loved it how much? That He gave His only Son. Parents out there, your children, you don't know me at all. But do you have love enough that you would give your child for me? I would highly hope not. But God loves us so much. His enemies. We were once enemies of God. But He loves us so much that He gave His child that we might have everlasting life with Him. He's never going to give us anything that we can't handle. The song that we sang this morning, complete in Thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to Thee denied. Romans 8:28. Turn there real quick. That we might think that, God, You just want to keep things from me. Why do I have to follow all these rules to be a Christian? Why does it seem like it's just such a headache to be saved? But that's not it at all. Romans 8:28. It says that we know that all things work together to good, that them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And then 29, for whom He did foreknow, that He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's where the good comes to. The good comes to be conformed to the image of God's Son, that we might be His firstborn among the brethren. All things work together for good, that we might be conformed in Jesus Christ, that we might be seen, Jesus Christ might be seen in our lives. It doesn't seem at the time. Last week, I was not thinking that anything was working out for good. But what a week does in your heart if you let Jesus change it. I realized that every step that I took was all in God's plan, that He might get the glory and that He might get the praise. And we might wonder, what do we do? How can we have joy in these trials? Turn back to James 1, if you would. And we're going to look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, which is saying that you do, let him ask of God, that giveth to them that to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, that it shall be given to him. Ask for wisdom. That first night, I realized that this was the verse because God had already, the week before, my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, broke up with me. He brought me across this passage, and I was learning from it, and I was growing from it. It's awesome how God does that, isn't it? How He puts things in your life before things happen, that you might be able to look back on it and realize, hey, that was God. So that first night, I was like, God, give me wisdom. You said that I can have joy through this if I ask for wisdom, so I'm asking to it, and give it to me liberally. I want Your wisdom. That's how we do it. That's how we're able to get through the trials that we have. We ask for wisdom from God. And we can go directly to God. I'm so happy that the Christian walk isn't like Catholicism, to where we have to go through these curves and prayers and things. We can go directly to God. Isn't that amazing? The God that created the universe, the God that created you and me, we can go to Him. We can sit on His lap and we can say, God, this is how I'm feeling. And God says, I know. I understand. Just rest in me. We can have such a close relationship to God that there's no thing in this earth that can have any effect on us at all. We serve an awesome God, and in Psalms 121, it tells us about the awesome God that we serve. I'm going to read a few verses from Psalms 121. It says, I will lift my eyes into the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. My God doesn't sleep. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor by moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and then even more, forevermore. Our God doesn't sleep. Our God doesn't go on a holiday. I think of the Old Testament when Elijah was on the mount and the Baal worshippers were calling to their God and they were cutting themselves and they were screaming and wailing and doing all these things to try to get their God's attention. And Elijah, he was like, oh, well, maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he should scream a little bit louder. My God doesn't go on holiday. And he says, maybe he's on vacation. And our God can handle every single one of our needs. Each individual need. That's pretty awesome. There's never, you know, sometimes when my dad, when he was busy, and I'd have a problem, and I'd come to him, and I'd be like, Dad, look, I want to talk to you real quick. And he'd be like, I can't right now. I can't right now. I don't have time. I have so much to do. That's not the way God is. He's pleading with us. Come here. I want to help you. I want to give you wisdom liberally. I want to be able to give you more than what you even ask for. I want to give you the best. Because all things that I do work together for good. If you will just love me. That's a pretty easy gift. If you love God, He will give you everything that works together for good. He wants to give you the best. That's why He has these things in the book, in the Bible, that the stipulations and the rules that we have to follow. It's not because He wants to keep us from stuff. Trust me. The stuff of the world, it's not good at all. But the beauty of being able to be saved and have a relationship with God, that is so worth it. It is so worth it to be able to have a relationship with God. Our help comes from God alone. And when we try to do things on our own, it doesn't work out. We just fall flat on our face. And we can have such a close relationship with God. I'm going to give you some examples of when I was really walking with God and the answers to prayer. I really appreciated your time of being able to wait and to listen to answers to prayer from God and how we can share that with others. That is so important. To be able to have that and share with each other the things that God does for us that only He can do. Last summer, I was working at a horse station, a ranch, and I trained horses and things like that. And I wasn't getting paid for that at all. I had this tiny, tiny apartment. It was one room, and it was just enough for me to put a bed in and a chair, and that was pretty much it. I had a little kitchen and a bathroom, and that's all it was. And I bought groceries the first day that I was there. And it was baked beans, peanut butter, and butter. And that's what I lived on for 2 weeks, every meal. What a blessing. And it was getting down to where I was almost out. And I was eating my last baked beans, peanut butter, and butter sandwich for breakfast. And I said, God, I'm out of food. I'm going to need your help. Because I had to pay for uni. Uni is not expensive. It's not cheap at all. It's very expensive for me. And my mom and dad, they can't help me out because of things. But I was like, Lord, I know you're going to provide. And I get a phone call 3 hours later. And I answer the phone. I'm like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, it's some friends of mine from uni. They were in summer school. They said, hey, we have a question for you. Is it all right if we stop by the house, your little apartment? We have something for you. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, that's all right. Because they were getting ready to head out. They were done with their semester at the summer school uni. And they stopped by the house. And they have a car full of groceries. And it wasn't just groceries. It was junk food. I was so happy. But the thing is, God didn't give me what I want or what I needed at the time. He gave me what I needed. But he gave me over and above of what I needed. And even more than junk food, they had strawberries. I love strawberries. And God gave me the desires of my heart. And that was not the only time that he did that. I was working for another family. And I was washing their house, trying to be able to get some money. It was a big log cabin. You have to treat it and seal it and put this coat on it to be able to keep it the rain and the bugs from getting into it and ruining it. And so it was the last day. They were getting ready to go to Alaska, and I had finished my last of the junk food, which probably wasn't very good for me that last few weeks. But I had finished the last of that day, and I was like, God, I'm out of food again. You know that. And so I'm just going to go work, and we'll see what happens. And right when I'm leaving, and they're handing me the check, which was overly gracious, which answered a prayer in it alone. And they said, oh, okay, well, by the way, could you use some food? We have a refrigerator full, and we're going to have to be in Alaska. We're not going to be able to use any of this. So if you could, just go ahead and take it off of our hands. I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah, I'll take your food off your hands. And, you know, of course, then I was crying and realizing the power of God, the power of prayer. But it's not just praying. It's praying, believing, and having a relationship with God. Another story is, school is very expensive, and I was checking my email, and this happened a couple times, and I was checking my email, and I found out that I got an email from financial aid. And usually that's not a good sign. Usually they're saying, hey, I want money from you. And this time I opened it up and it said, Caleb Downs, you have been giving a donation of $2,000 to your school bill. I don't even know who it was. Today, I still don't know who it was. But it's only by God. It's probably God just put that in the bank and it wasn't anybody else at all. But $2,000, and one time I went up the steps to my apartment. I found a verse that had a card. The gist of it was that God will give you overabundantly out of His riches, and in an envelope was $200 cash. Just time after time after time after time, you follow God, He will bless. You have a relationship with God, and you pray, and you ask for the things that you need, and you trust, and you have faith that He will provide. He's going to provide. And one thing that stuck out to me more than anything else, out of all those prayers, those things are just awesome, but this just blew my mind. I was out, I was mowing pasture, and I had about 9 to 10 hours I was going to be able to work that day. And all of a sudden, I see a rain cloud out in the distance, and I can see, you know how you can see the rain streaking in the sky when it's raining? You know what I'm talking about? Well, I just saw it starting to pour, and I just started praying. I was like, God, I have 9 hours I was going to be able to have sectioned out for today. I need money for school. I don't know how I'm going to go back. If you could, just hold off the rain, please. And I see that cloud come to the edge of my field, and I see the rain just pouring. And the cloud splits, and it comes on each side of me. And then it closes behind me, and not one drop of rain lands on that field that I was on. My God loves me so much that He is willing to change the weather for me. And tell me the power of prayer is not powerful. That doesn't make sense at all. I've seen it. I've lived it. I know the power of prayer. And it all comes from having a relationship with God. And even after that relationship, believe it or not, I chose to go back to my old way. To have me the king of my life. I chose to give up riches and Jesus Christ. To have the scum of the earth. Why? Why do we do that? Why do we decide to live for ourselves and not live for Jesus Christ who wants to bless us? It's just like someone saying, hey, I have $1 million for you. I want to give this to you. Or $1 billion. I just want to give you $1 billion. And then instead you're like, oh, no, it's all right. I have a $10 bill over here and I think I'll keep it instead. Why we do that, I do not understand. We live on this earth for just such a little while. And the things that we do now affects us for eternity. 80 years. Tops. Well, not me, not tops. I mean, there's older people than that. But for me, I really don't see myself getting past 50. Well, we'll see how that goes. But the short time span, maybe this much. And then if you draw a line from there all the way around the world and keep continuing to go and go and go. What we do now affects us for eternity. And every single thing that we do, we have to answer to God for. But yet, praise God, He is a God of second chances. I was able to be used this last week in such a way that I never thought I'd be able to again. We had been praying a lot for a few of our campers and two individually in my cabin that I had been praying for. And I could see the God working in their hearts. It ended up that on Monday we prayed, Tuesday we prayed, Thursday we prayed, or Wednesday we prayed, and then Thursday I was able to lead Jade, one of my campers, to the Lord. And then I had another camper as well, who I wasn't sure if he was saved or not. And it ended up that he came to me, and he started off talking about how he was having a rough relationship with his mom. And I realized that wasn't the problem. He had a head knowledge of God, but he didn't have a heart knowledge. And once he found that out, it just changed him. And he asked Jesus to save him. His salvation prayer was this. He was like, God, forgive this wretch that stands in front of you. I want to be used by you. If we look at ourselves like who we are wretch. We are wretched sinners. Sinners that spit in God's face every single time that we decide to do our own thing. But by God's grace, He gives us second chances. I couldn't imagine why God would use me again. But yet He chooses to. You just have to be willing to be broken and be willing to be used by God. We need to be content in everything that God gives to us. Philippians 4:11. Turn there real quick. It's Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am therewith to be content. If we find ourselves content in what God has for us right now, we won't have a problem with sin. We won't have a problem with wanting to do our own thing. Because every single thing that we ever do is all from selfishness. God, I will be content in losing my job. God, I will be content in losing my girlfriend. God, I will be content in this promotion and I don't want to have another promotion after that. In this state, I will be content. God, I will be content if you want me to be single for the rest of my life. And if you want me to serve you in some island somewhere, I will be content. Are we content? Are we really trusting in God to provide our daily needs? Trust Him. Know that He loves you. Know that He wants to have a relationship with you that is so sweet, and that He wants to answer your prayers. Every desire that you have in your heart, He wants to answer that, because your desires, when you have a relationship with Him, will become His desires. But it only comes if you know Him as your personal Savior. If you have taken that step of realizing the penalty, the intensity of your sin, and ask Him to forgive that, and that you want to no longer live and make yourself king. You can do that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If we just trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not into our own understanding, let God have His way in your life. These trials, they're for a reason. And He will help you through them. Let's pray. Our Father, God, we thank You so much for Your love. We thank You so much for being a dad that gives us second chances. Had it not been for You, I don't know where I would be. But yet by Your grace, You chasten Your own. You want us to have a relationship with You. You want us to be able to love You. Because You are an awesome God. Lord, if there be someone here tonight that does not know You, that does not know the relationship and the joy and the peace that they can have them come tonight and accept You and have that relationship and forgiveness that only You can give. Jesus, we love You. And we thank You for Your love. And we ask all these things in Your precious, precious name. Amen.